basically, you guys were talking about, you know, the importance of sustainability in biotech and this, you know, urgent need to increase the amount of food we're producing, getting more from the same amount of land. And you mentioned developing countries. Do you think we do have the potential to squeeze more out of America, or is it going to really be a stress on convincing other countries to embrace biotechnology? I was just in Honduras, in fact, and a lady down there at Zamorano, which is one of the prestigious agriculture schools down there, was talking about even political leaders are telling their constituents that if they eat a plant that has biotech involved in it, they're going to get, I can't remember what it was, but it was something absurd. It was like an immediate disease, like they're going to grow another arm or something.
Yeah.
So what are you going to do to combat that? And is the potential really in those countries where they aren't, you know, maximizing the amount of land that they have or the production they have, and stuff like Europe as well?
Yeah. So fundamentally, we believe yields can be increased everywhere. You take a place like the U.S., and you're seeing, you know, farmers really using a lot of technology, using the best farm practices. So they're already moving to very high levels of yield, but we think they're going to do better. We think they're going to, you know, do even more. If you just look at the some of the yields that have been achieved in some very optimized conditions, it suggests that we've got a long ways to go before we've tapped yield potential. But if you take this to another level, a developing country, you know, pick any country, really, but Malawi is a great example. Malawi is a country that wasn't feeding itself. Its corn yields were basically 10% of the United States on an annual basis. And just by using hybrids, moving away from open pollinated corn varieties to hybrids and using fertilizers, they've increased their yields almost fourfold in just a very short period of time. So rapid improvement can be made where, you know, they haven't been using technology, but we think there's going to be yield growth go on globally. It's really going to depend on whether farmers have new tools and access to those tools and how liberally they can use those tools. So that's what we think is going to be needed.
And is that part of the reason then, you guys, I think you said you're going to help 5 million farmers in developing countries?
Yeah, so our goal is basically to help all farmers. It's our mission as a company is to, you know, improve the lives of farmers that we serve who are our customers by helping them make more money, which they can devote to, you know, all kinds of things that will improve their standard of living. But in resource poor areas where farming is really, you know, just trying to feed the family, you know, very poor conditions, there's close to 1 billion of these people in the world. The basic goal is just to help, you know, put food on the table and improve their lives by giving them better nutrition, better access to education and healthcare. And so we've stated a goal that, you know, discreetly by 2020, we want to see 5 million farm families move into the category of being helped by better seeds and technology in agriculture. And we think we can do that.
And you say help them put food on the table, but it seems like they have the potential to really help fill the gap as far as this need that we need. If they're only producing, like you said in Malawi, a 10% yield.
Absolutely. You know, with the growing demand, it's going to take them producing more and providing more crops locally in their markets and the markets that they serve, but also U.S. farmers producing a lot more to meet the growing demand. Let's remember that we've got to double food production between now and 2050. We've got to produce more food between now and 2050 than we produced in the 10,000 years preceding today. So this is a big challenge. So it's going to take every farmer producing more food in their market to meet the challenge. That's what we want to help them do.
And what about fighting this fear of the biotech crops?
Well, I think we're starting to see progress in that regard. You know, we're now up to well over 25 countries that are using biotech crops. You know, several million farmers that have, you know, really a decade or more of experience with these crops. We're starting to see the next generation of technology come right to the forefront. Technologies like water efficient corn or nitrogen use efficient canola. You know, these are exciting technologies that are, I think, challenging governments and policymakers to really take another look at this technology and really determine if they think it's optional or necessary. And more, I think we're seeing, you know, policymakers open themselves up to another look at the technology. So we have a lot of room for optimism that we're going to see over the next 5 to 10 years a much more focused policy environment for biotech crops.
Does Monsanto have any outreach programs going on as far as talking to those political leaders in developing countries? Like I said, there's some that are preaching that you're going to grow another arm if you eat this food that's influenced by biotech.
Yeah. Well, certainly, you know, we have efforts, but more importantly, I think there's some strong scientist-to-scientist efforts, farmer-to-farmer efforts that I've seen where delegations of scientists from the U.S. or delegations of farmers from the U.S. talk to other countries and they talk to their peers about their experience with the technology. Let's remember that 15 years ago, that wasn't possible because nobody had experience with the technology. We had a very reasonable and rational approach to adopt the technology, but the experience wasn't there. Now that the experience is there, we're seeing these groups and these delegations set up networks with their peers, and we're seeing scientific capacity get added at a rate that wasn't really possible 5 and 10 and 20 years ago. So that's going to make a big difference, much bigger difference than what we will do. Certainly we'll do our part. We're a big advocate for the technology. We'll continue to defend the science. We're going to be very rigorous around the science and the regulatory requirements that we espouse. But that's what I see as the real opportunity to make a difference over the next 5 to 10 years.